The title of my sermon is Beyond the Tomb. I said earlier that we wear crosses around our neck, and I have no problem wearing jewelry, having a cross around your neck. Don't get me wrong. But I don't worship at the cross. I don't kneel at the tomb. I look to a risen Savior who sits at the right hand of God in majesty. He is the head of the church. The Bible says that the church is His body. So if the church is His body, where is it that the church sits also? We sit at the right hand of God in majesty. The Bible says all things are under His feet. Well, if all things are under His feet and we are a part of the body, then all things are under our feet. The things that try to come against us in life, Jesus paid for those things on the cross. And we have victory, we have authority over those things because we are in the body of Christ. We are a part of the body of Christ. It's Easter Sunday. Where do we go beyond this service? We've had many an Easter Sunday. I've been on this planet, this blue marble, for 60 years. I know I look like I'm about 19, but I've been on this marble for 60 years. And I've been to many Easter services. And when I walk out of this Easter service, and I've done this so many times, I've walked out of these Easter services, went home because we had a meal plan, we had the roast in the oven, and we had family over, and we had Easter egg hunts, and we had all these different things when I was a kid growing up. But now that I'm in a position to where I've gotten older and I've learned more about what this means on this Easter Sunday morning, when I leave this place, I say to myself, now what? Well, my now what is to share the same message. I mean, we can talk about all the things that the Bible says about, you know, we got our healing, we got our prosperity, we've got all these different things, and those are all good things. But if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you don't have any of that stuff. Everything that you do is in your own power. You rely on doctors. You rely on your own ability to produce wealth. Well, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't have to rely on my own power. I can do everything through the power of God who lives on the inside of me. How can I know this? How can I do this? Because Jesus paid a price for me. And He conquered death, and He conquered the grave, sits at the right hand of God, ruling in a position to where everything is under His feet. He said, Rick, hey, guess what? I'm bringing you right up here with me. We're going to do the same thing. Guess what? You're still on the earth. So take that same power and that same authority and take it out into the streets out there. Don't leave it in this church building on Sunday morning. Yes, remember that I am risen, but remember I am risen and given you power to go do the works that I've called you to do. Whoo! Yikes. We'll have a nice Easter service. I think Carrie threw a turkey in. I don't like turkey, but don't tell her that. But she threw a turkey in. So we'll go home and we'll eat something. Probably give the dog some of it too. But you know what? We have these nice Easter services. But I'll tell you what, the week for Jesus was kind of brutal. We don't have it tough on this earth being a Christian. I will venture to say it's not hard to be a Christian in the United States of America. It really isn't. You might get laughed at, ridiculed once in a while, but you're not going to get a cat of nine tails across your back. And you know what? Back in Jesus, when He was walking down, not everybody was dressed. I don't see any paisley here this morning, but not everybody was dressed in paisley, Easter colors, all these different things that we do in our life, in our church, in our culture, the things that we've done in the past. All I'm trying to do this morning is get you to think about, what am I going to do when I leave here? I realize that Jesus is risen. Okay, now what? What am I doing beyond the tomb? There has to be a purpose. We're not meant to just get born again and sit here on the earth and wait till we die and eventually get to heaven. That's not we were put here to do. Jesus wanted the heart of man. And He died to get it. God sent him into the world for mankind. Now, when he died on the before he died on the cross, he gave his disciples some instructions. Well, guess what? These same instructions that he gave his disciples, these same instructions are meant for us today. And if we look at John chapter 20, verse 21, it says here, again he said, "Peace be with you." And now he said this twice in this passage. But he says, "And peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, I was looking into that "peace be with you." And a couple of different things it was talking about. Peace be with you. You can be at peace with your past. You think, now Jesus is telling this after he had died and he had rose out of the grave. He's telling us, these disciples, this before he ascended to heaven. Peace be with you. These guys here, Peter denied him. A lot of the disciples ran away and hid for fear that they were going to be, you know, next, but killed by the Jews. Don't worry about that, Jesus saying, calm down. Peace be with you. Take it easy. There's a plan here. Then he says it again, "Peace be with you. Know that I am with you always." We have so many promises in the Word of God saying that He's always going to be with us. When the Word of God says, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you," what does never mean? Never. It's never going to stop. He'll always be with us. Whatever situation, whatever predicament we find ourselves in, He said He's always going to be with us. We don't have to guess, wonder, or hope whether He will be. And then He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Breathed on them, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In John 16, 13, Jesus was talking to them. And He says, you know, He's going to go to the Father, but the Spirit of truth is going to come, which is the Holy Spirit. And He's going to lead and guide you into all truth. Says that He's going to speak things that come directly from the throne room of God, and He's going to show you things to come. So when He says that I'll never leave you or forsake you, He's saying my Holy Spirit will be here leading and guiding you into everything. And if you trust in Him, the answers that you're going to get, and us today, if we trust in Him, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the answers we're going to get are going to be answers that come directly from the throne room of God. I want answers that come from the throne room of God. I don't want answers from some psychologist, not that there's anything bad with those. Counselors, not that there's anything bad with those. But I don't want those answers. I want answers that are spoken from the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding me. He says, I'm sending you in the power of the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. In the manner that the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. How did the Father send Jesus to the earth? What did Jesus do while He was on the earth? How did He affect people while He was here on the earth? How did He deal with situations here on the earth? He says He's sending them the same way. He's sending us today the same way. In John 14, 12, this gives us a clue as to how He's sending us. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," every born-again Christian, every born-again Christian. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." What in the world did Jesus do while He was here? Lame people, and they walked. Blind people, here's mud in your eye, and they saw. Demon-possessed people, and He cast them out. Winds and waves on a sea, the disciples fearing that they were going to drown. He says, "Peace, be still." Our wind and waves don't have to be literal wind and waves. Our wind and waves can be situations that we have at work, and we can look at that wind and we can look at that wave and say, "Peace be still." And it has to obey. The works that I have been doing, you'll be doing. And they will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Whoo, get a load of that. Obviously, it has to be in line with the Word of God. We can't go off crazy. I heard a guy one time say this. Somebody came to him and they were claiming something. They had an unspoken prayer, wanted them to come in agreement with them, and they're believing God for something. And he asked him, well, I can't deal with an unspoken prayer. Tell me what it is. He says, well, this girl over here, your secretary, I want her for my wife. I know she's married, but I want her for my wife. We can't ask for things like that, just so you know. But he said things in line with his word. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. And it says, so that the Father will be glorified. He's risen to put us in this position. Ooh, man. We have the same authority that he had. What do you mean, Rick? We have the same authority Jesus had? That's what he just said. The things that he did, we're going to do in greater. Ask anything, I'll do it. So if we have the same authority he had, well, then we can look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, devils and demons, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I've given you the authority to do this. Demons and devils and situations and circumstances have to bow at the name of Jesus. The power and authority that he's given us, we can do these things. He said we could. Don't ever think that it's in your own ability, though, because it's not. You think it's in your own ability, and that devil will jump right on you and rip you to shreds. Ask the seven sons of Sceva. They'll tell you. Well, not really. But it's never in our own power. But what I like... We have all this authority, but never forget, the greatest thing is because he's risen. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Whew. Yeah. Yeah, I'm rejoicing my name's written. All these other things are good. All these other things, the people talk about the prosperity and the healing and the peace and the joy and all these other different things. They're good. Man, I'm rejoicing. My name's written in heaven, but I don't want to stop there. Beyond the tomb, outside that door this morning, I'm not stopping it just that I'm born again and I'm going to heaven. Man, I'm looking for somebody else to bring along with me. So he's saying, I'm sending you to carry the message forward. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a message you need to carry forward. I'm sending you to share what the message of the cross has done for mankind. Man, it opened up a door for mankind. It ripped that curtain in half now that we have direct access. We don't have to worry about priests and bulls and goats and all this other stuff that they did back then. He made a way to where we have direct access to the Father. Mankind was restored. We no longer have to deal with poverty and sickness and spiritual death and all those different types of things. He said, I'm sending you to do the works that I've been doing. If you're born again, you are in a position to do the things that Jesus did while he was here on this earth. You got to believe it, number one, that the word is true. If he says the works I did, you're going to do and greater, that's the word, right? We just read that in John 14:12. How many of us believe it? Beyond the tomb. My dad, I think I've shared this before, but it's worth sharing again. My dad got born again. He's first generation. And since he got born again, me, my brother and sister, all three of my kids, all four of my grandkids, everybody's born again. Because one man who cussed worse than any sailor while the preacher was on the front porch said yes to Jesus. And so in 1967, because he said yes, because he recognized that there was something that he was called to do beyond the tomb, beyond the cross, he recognized that in 1967, he had a four-year-old boy sitting on the end of the bed, which was me. He shared Jesus with me. I knelt at the foot of that bed, accepted Jesus as my Savior. I still picture the sight. I'm kneeling at the foot of the bed. My mom is out in the living room, sitting in a recliner, got a lamp right here by her head, light shining down on her head, and she's reading a book. I remember it vividly. My dad said yes to Jesus, and he knew there was a work to do beyond the tomb for his children. Some people would say, well, Rick, how do you know that you were born again at 4 years old? I remembered it. I still, this day, I can see that picture. And here recently, I asked my mom. I said, now, was our house set up this way? The bedroom here, the bed, chair, lamp, all that? She goes, yep, that's the way it was set up. So it was something that was so impactful in my life at 4 years old that it's carried all these many years. The same final instructions beyond the tomb are given to us just as they were the disciples and all the other followers of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture here, and you're okay to stay till about 4, right? Okay. I heard one amen. I got one person staying with me. Anyway. But it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him as they strained to see him. Rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of a half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Chapter 2, verse 1. And the day of Pentecost had fully come when they were all in one accord in one place. That's something he's saying today to the body of Christ. When they were all in one accord. If the way we think does not line up with the Bible, then the way you think is wrong. That's kind of bold, isn't it, Rick? Well, that's the truth. And we're here for truth, right? Amen. If the way we think doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's wrong. We as a body of believers, the people in this room, can gather together, look at what the Bible is saying, and come into agreement, be in unity about it. And when we're in unity, here's what happens. In one accord. And suddenly. I love the suddenlies. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone had heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them in our own language in which we were born? Perithians, Medes, Elamites, dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? The witnessing had begun. When we looked in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, what? Comes upon you. Chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. People in this group here, people from the ends of the earth, people from all over. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will come upon you And he did. They spoke with other tongues, and these other people understood them in their own languages. The witnessing had begun. So what is our purpose as believers? Why are we still here as believers? It's easy to win the lost. That's our primary purpose as believers. I have no problem with prosperity. I have stocks and bonds. I have things like that. I have no problem with prosperity. I have no problem with any of these other things, that the precious promises that are in the Bible. There are many promises for us to be able to live a victorious life. We are more than conquerors because of Him. But our primary purpose is to win people to Jesus. And if we lose sight of that, then we're living in a me and me, myself, and I type of religion. And that doesn't go very well. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You can't be a good person and go to heaven. Well, you should be. But that's not what's going to get you to heaven. It doesn't matter how much money you give to the church. That won't get you to heaven. It doesn't matter how nice you are to people at work. That won't get you to heaven. You only get to heaven by accepting Jesus as your Savior. And he said to go into all the world. Mark 16, 15, it says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Your world, you don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to South America. You don't have to go any of those places to go into all the world. All the world, for me, has been Pontiac, Illinois. Spent 26 years in Pontiac, Illinois, working for the Department of Corrections. Met a guy there one day. I'm working a gun tower. Tower 7 runs out alongside the road. And nobody can come into this tower except for me, the shift commander, and one other person. And so I would pray every day, "Lord, give me somebody to talk to about you, somebody that I can share. It doesn't matter whether it's an unbeliever, doesn't matter whether it's a Christian who needs encouragement. Give me somebody to talk to." And I'm thinking, I'm out in this tower. There's nobody coming to me out here. Nobody can come into this tower. I get done praying that, and here comes a white van, pulls into my little driveway. I recognize who it is. I drop my keys. He comes up in my tower. It's the only other person who can come into my tower. He comes up into my tower, and I'm standing there by the wall. He comes over, and he sits in my chair and just drops his head. Looks like my world is Pontiac, Illinois, Tower 7. So I started sharing Jesus with him. Well, this guy, he lives an alternative lifestyle, if you know what I mean. And I shared Jesus with him, and I got to the point where I asked him if he wanted to receive Jesus as a Savior. And he's listening to me, and all of a sudden his head just dropped again, and he's totally silent. Well, then here comes another van, which was my lunch relief. And so I had to leave. So I didn't pray with him, but my world was to plant seed that day. I was in another part of my world was Macomb, Illinois. A friend of mine, his mom was dying in the hospital there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "Drive to Macomb." It's a 3-hour drive to Macomb from where I lived. Drive to Macomb and talk to his mom. So I jumped in the car and I drove to Macomb. And I said, "Lord, you know there's going to be doctors and nurses there. How do I get a moment where it's just her and I talking in the room?" Well, as soon as I get there, sure enough, doctor is in the room. Well, as soon as I walk into the room, he walks out of the room. So I didn't waste any time. I dove right in and started sharing Jesus with her. I asked her if she wanted to receive Jesus as her Savior. She said she did. I prayed with her. 2 days later, she died. I talked to her family, explained what I had done, and they just started to weep, saying we were hoping that somebody would come and share Jesus with her. My world was Macomb, Illinois. Back in Pontiac, Illinois, shared this one before. Inmate was in the hospital, dying, And I'm working the hospital that night. I walk past his room three times. Lord tells me to go in there two of those times. And the third time he stops me and says, do you believe this or not? If you believe it, get in the room and talk to him. So I go in the room and I talk to him. He can't speak, but he can acknowledge me. I asked him if he wanted to receive Jesus as his Savior. He shook his head, yes. I prayed with him. 3 days later, he died. Go into all the world. I'm in Chicago. My world's Chicago, Illinois now. I'm at a hospital up there, a friend of mine with me. I start sharing Jesus with this person up there. And this person said, well, hey, thanks for the encouragement. I'm born again, going to heaven, but I'm thankful for the encouragement. I said, Lord, what is it that, why did I share that with him? Other than the encouragement, which was good. He said, because your partner is a Christian and he's not bold in his faith. He's shy in his faith. He needed to see that happen in a public setting. My world was Chicago, Illinois. My world's Peoria, Illinois. My sister-in-law is dying of cancer. She's in the hospital. Carrie shares Jesus with her. She accepts Jesus as her Savior. Another lady comes and wants to make sure it stuck and shared Jesus with her again. She prayed again. And when she prayed again, my sister-in-law, she asked, did you guys hear that? And we said, no, we didn't hear that. What do you mean? What would you hear? She said, it was a door and it was slamming and it was angry. Man, okay, so I go out in the hallway. I said, Lord, what does that mean? A door slamming is angry. And he told me, he says, Satan had a grip on her and he lost it. And that final door was slammed in his face and he didn't like it. And he was angry. A few days later, she died and went to heaven. That's just some of the places that were my world. Those are just some of the places where accepting Jesus as your Savior is more important than anything. More important than anything we have going on in our lives. More important than, well, I want to share prosperity with this guy here. Well, I believe in prosperity, but you know what? If he's not born again, I want that. That's the thing that's going to prosper him. That's the thing that's going to set him off. He's risen. All these things happen beyond the tomb. Jesus isn't there anymore. Now, we're going to talk about a lot of these different things. We're going to talk about, I've been mentioning it, the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to talk about tithes and offerings. We're going to talk about those things. Most preachers won't talk about tithes and offerings. They're scared to talk about them. I'm not, because when we start talking about those things and what it means biblically, it's not the church trying to get into your pocket. It's the church trying to tell you how you can be blessed. And we'll reveal that. Mark 16:15 said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if you read on down there about those who believe in him, it says these signs are going to follow you. You get people saved, and now these signs are going to follow you. You're going to drive out demons. Anybody ever been faced with a demon before? I have, more than once. We're going to be able to drive out demons. Speak with new tongues. It says we're going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. King James, New King James says they shall recover. Well, if you look up one of the meanings of shall, it means must. They must recover. Wow. We're going to do the works that Jesus did. So the what now? What now beyond the tomb? We've just touched briefly on some of these things here. Well, why don't we do some of the things like this beyond the tomb? I think sometimes fear plays into it. Fear of being rejected. 2 Timothy, we've read this before, 1:6 and 7. It says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul talking to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. Next door neighbor of mine, Lloyd Runyon. I probably shouldn't be mentioning names. We are live streaming. But the next door neighbor of mine, Lloyd Runyon, he was dying of cancer. And I knew the Lord was telling me to go talk to him. I didn't do it. And he died. and beat myself up for months after that. And then finally, when my pity party was over, the Lord spoke to me and says, do you think you're the only one I spoke to go speak to him? I'm like, okay. But people talk about going to the woodshed. Of course, I don't think they do that anymore, but we did. Going to the woodshed. Yeah, I don't want to go there again, because that's what it felt like when I didn't obey him. So after that happened, another friend of mine was going in for open heart surgery. And I said, that's not happening again. I got in the car, drove to Bloomington, and I was down there, and I shared Jesus with him. And I asked him, I said, if he'd like to receive Jesus. He says, well, I went to the Lutheran church a number of years ago, and I said, okay, that's a starting point. Now let's move forward from there. So I got to share Jesus with him. Not going to let those things happen again. So what's the final word on all this? We're not at the cross anymore. The stone's been rolled away. The tomb is empty. Now what? Let's never let Easter morning service become something that we, well, it's one of the Sundays of the year that I go to church, or not let it be something that it's, we focus just on, well, it's Easter Sunday. He's risen. No, he's risen. And he's risen all year long. And so it's up to us to take that word that he's given us, take that power, that strength that's on the, that he's given, the authority that's on the inside of us, and let's take it beyond Easter morning. And let's proclaim he is risen outside those doors. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for this time we've had here this morning. Father, there's so much more that we could say. There's so much more that we could do here this morning. There's so much more time that if we would just stop for a minute, we could just get on our knees and worship you. And thank you that you are risen. We are redeemed. We are now in right standing with the Father because of the blood that was shed. Help us to see that church isn't within these four walls. That because of what you did, we take it outside these four walls. And we go to Pontiac, and we go to Chicago, and we go to Macomb, and we go to Peoria, and we go to Mattoon and Charleston and all these surrounding towns around here. And we take the love of Jesus with us. Father, we don't want to be Christians who think that we're better than anybody else. But we do have a message that you've given to us to share and transform lives.